Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now. Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Live, Laugh, Lou.
I'm so dead inside and I can't laugh. Just kidding, I can.
Okay, well, welcome to this dark episode of the Mixing Music Podcast.
That's how we're starting the year. We're going dark, dude. Man.
This episode is the second batch of special holiday episodes. I don't know what day this episode comes out on. Hold on, let me look it up.
January something?
January 2nd. I'm still vacationing. I just want y'all to know that if you're listening to this episode on the day that it is released, I am playing so much Nintendo Switch with my kids. I am probably well rested. I want you to assume that I'm well fed. I want you to assume that I am cuddling. Like, I'm competing to be the number one cuddling championship.
Also assume that he's like fully ripped and has a six pack. Just do it.
You don't have to assume. That is true. All right.
But if you haven't thought about it, you can assume.
This holiday season, imagine me with a six pack in your dreams.
And a Santa's beard. And a Santa's beard and hat. There you go. That's your New Year's.
Here to give you presents. All right.
The gift of mixing tutorials.
It's a good day. We're goofy on these special episodes. Today's the New Year episodes. We do this every year, and we're going to talk about goals. I usually like to take the time to actually methodically and thoughtfully write goals out on a whiteboard that I hang on my wall. Because I can see my goals, let's first start off with the goals that I had this year and talk about those. Talk about the type of how I feel about them, how I accomplished them or didn't, and then talk about goals that I'm planning on writing down for next year. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go first with goals? Is it okay if I go?
I don't mind either way.
Cool, I'll just go because we've already started. This is how it happens, folks. All right, so I think the number one goal of mine was to do at least one YouTube video a week. Guess what? We did it. Editing, I missed last week, shoot. But I did it this year. I think there's like 50 plus episodes this year. I said run a marathon.
You did it?
I did that thrice. And I stayed fit. Oh, that was the real goal, was to stay fit. Mm-hmm. Especially because I was turning 30 this year.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't.
You old bitch.
Yeah. I want to enter my 30s with a six pack. And indeed I did.
Good.
And finish content with Kayoko.
Like the kids stuff?
Yeah, I think the kids book. I didn't write a kids book this year. Frick. Oh, I didn't write a kids book this year.
Did it come out? Oh, it came out for Christmas last year.
Yeah. Save a specific amount of money, which we did. And then the last one was a bonus goal, which was go skydiving, which I did not do.
Yeah.
But that was a bonus goal. I added that one later. I feel really good about this year. I feel like, more importantly, there's a lot of things that aren't on that list that I accomplished. I feel like through weekly therapy, through intensive self-care and continued persistence in the pursuit of happiness, I feel like I actually I'm learning to be happy and okay with myself this year. I've discovered that I suffer subconsciously deeply from feeling inferior and never feeling like I'm enough. which, and I'm learning to harness that power. So not to avoid it and not to remove it, but to harness it and to use that as a source for, to be courageous and to move forward.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it, be okay with it, basically. And I'm learning that. And I think I'm like actually really coming a long way. That's something that I didn't write down on my goal, but I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of. Like, honestly, running a marathon was cool, but that's only like cool for like a day or two. It's mostly like, I like that I became the type of person who can train to run a marathon.
Yeah. I think the idea behind like, okay, I ran the marathon, that was cool. I think it's just more a confirmation of what you're doing, if anything. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I hit this metric, and now you're kind of like thinking, well, now that metric's done, it's either I move on to the next metric or what? Like, what is the current point?
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be more than just a singular metric.
Yeah, so for anyway, so I want to ask you what some of your goals were this year, if you accomplished them or didn't, or your reflections on them.
I kind of accomplished 3 good ones and 1 personal one. The personal one, I think, was kind of like the biggest one, which is, and this is going to sound bad, but I think there's necessary evils at all time. It's cut off anything I really just didn't want to be involved in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And were you able to do that 100%, 50%? Like,
I'd say 80%.
80%.
I'd say 80%.
That's still really good.
Yeah. And as an end result, without saying numbers, I've hit my biggest year in the last 14 years of doing this.
Interesting, because usually people fear, they don't want to do that because they fear that they will lose a ton of money, right?
I had opportunities through relationships that I built with people that I actually did enjoy working with that, you know, were fruitful opportunities that were presented, you know what I mean? And I had the choice at some point this year to either continue in the path that I was or take a leap of faith. And I chose the leap of faith. Have you ever heard the notion, and I think this one is mentioned in Superman, of all movies, how do I know if I can trust you? And sometimes it's a matter of a leap of faith, not necessarily having inherent trust already built. Sometimes hitting your goals means you have to take a leap of faith, even if you were to hit your face flat on the ground.
Yeah.
And I took that leap of faith.
Nice. Congrats, yeah, man. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Even small things, even like 1% better is
still better.
Is still huge. So it's like the fact that you feel like you were able to eradicate 80% and feel a significant increase.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is actually really cool.
Yeah. But what is it? It's the 80-20 rule. 80% of our work is actually only 20% of our end product, and 20% of our work is actually 80% of our income.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So eliminating that 80%, I feel like, is almost like the 100% overall. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, no, as far as like other goals that were in comparison, I feel easier to hit was honestly like going to the gym 4 days a week for a year straight.
Did you start going to the gym last year?
I started August 2021.
Oh, so it's been a few years now.
No.
2 years. It's been a couple years.
Oh, so maybe it was 2022 then. It was 2022 then. Because I did go earlier in the year in 2022, and I went consistently for like 4 months. And then I stopped going, and, you know, Anna kept going. And I didn't. So she kept going. She kept doing cardio like 5 days a week, right? And I'm just kind of sitting there at home, and I'm like thinking like, damn, I'm a piece of shit. I stopped going to the gym. And don't get me wrong, everybody has that thought when they're like, they set a goal, they start, they're doing well, and then all of a sudden they stop, right? And, you know, I got asked like, why do you keep paying the gym membership if you're not going to go? I'm like, it's kind of a punishment to myself kind of thing. Like, I should really go or else I'm just wasting money. And at a certain point I was like, okay, I'm going to start going. I'm going to be consistent about it. And that was about like August, 2022. And, since then I have had my longest streak of going no matter what, even if I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just more about like, and I think I told you the reasoning why. The reason wasn't to go to the gym. The reason wasn't to make the money worth it. I set a goal that had more to do with myself than it did the metric. And I think that's ultimately what made it work, which is, and I think I told you before, the reason I go to the gym is not because I want to look fit or have a six pack or anything. I do like the end results, but the end results are not what I'm after. And it's the only thing that's going to keep me motivated, because as soon as I assign a metric to it, I'm not motivated anymore because I know I can hit any goal I set. The goal I had was to feel a lot more self-respect for myself, because I can't ask anybody to respect me if I can't respect myself enough to take care of myself. So the goal I actually hit was consistency.
There you go. We, if you can tell, we are fans of James Clear, the book Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
Both winners and losers have the same goals. I love that quote. Yeah. It's about habits, about it's about sustainable change.
Yeah.
Even from the research, from the research psychology studied by Alfred Adler, yeah, talks about feeling inferior, the self, like the ideals of oneself, how you can't conform, and how you, everybody has to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You can recede into the misery of the safety, the safe zone, mm-hmm, right? The comfort zone. Or you can choose to be okay with discomfort and be courageous, right? This is something, yeah, that I've been touching on the last couple episodes. Be courageous enough to move forward and to choose your sacrifice. Everybody, yeah, has to sacrifice, so might as well do it on purpose. It's not about working out. It never, mm-hmm, has been about working out. It's never been about running or running faster. Those are like tertiary, not even secondary, but tertiary objectives of mine. When I run, number one reason is to feel like I'm in control again. It's, yeah, it's to prove to myself on a regular basis that I am in control, and what I can control is enough. And most of life is things that I can't control. But as, yep, long as I'm doing the things that I can't control, I'm doing them the way that I think should be right. And I'm using that, the feeling of inferiority as a, the insecurity and inferiority as a way to encourage self-improvement. Like, that's the secondary goal, is to be fit.
Yeah.
The first goal is mental health. The secondary goal is to be fit. The tertiary goal is, sorry, the tertiary goal is to be fit. The second, whatever. Okay. I messed it up. Whatever. But the point is,
yeah,
the point, it's not about getting fit. I love that.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. In fact, I have many times proven to myself where the people that I was taught by, I've been able to match or surpass, even without having to match their body type.
There you go. So it's incredibly important to, and especially with what we do, music, and this is something that we brought up a little bit last episode, it's all about sustainability and outliving, yeah, all of our competitors. Like, I'm serious about, yeah, that. Like, as much as that's funny, that's like dead serious.
Yeah.
If we, you need, in order to stay in this industry and to do better in this industry, you have to invest long term. Yeah. And in order to do that, we highly, heavily focus on,
preservation of self.
Yeah, preservation of self, choosing sustainable actions, right?
Yeah.
And sustainable habits. I think that as we come into the new year, first off, I want to preface with this, a little bit tangent here. In psychology, usually a change in setting is the best way to reorganize the mind and to reprioritize.
Yep.
So for example, if you feel really stuck, moving is a great way to free it up. And the brain, for some reason, is unable to, like, for example, when I moved to LA, I was able to stop biting my nails. That's something, mm-hmm, I've never been able to do. But as soon as I moved, I was able to break a lot of bad habits.
Yeah.
And every time I move, I'm able to, like, okay, refocus and not feel stuck. It's like, this is an opportunity for me to do better. One of the specific examples that I read that from also talks about why New Year's is so good, mm-hmm, is that resolutions, people have resolutions and they feel, for some reason, all it is, it's just a new day. Mm-hmm. It's the same fucking miserable cold day, January 1st, mm-hmm, unless you're in Australia, it's a warm day. Okay, but you know, it's just a cold day, mm-hmm, nothing's different, except we as a society have decided that this is the time for change.
Yeah.
So it's a great time to think of goals, but goals, there's a purpose to goals. Goals is more of a target.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like this. The real way to self-improve is through changes in your behavior, changes in your, yeah, actions, or in not a bad way, but to change what you idealize, like what you find ideal, like for self-improvement, right? So it's like, I don't, like maybe last year, like I need to be a marathon runner. And then this year you're like, no, that desire is actually unhealthy. Maybe I'm just okay to run every once in a while.
Yeah. Like, honestly speaking, like one of the things that kind of helped me this year, remember, so like the exercise factor for me wasn't about any metrics, any physical physique or anything. And the funny thing is, even if you don't notice it, even if you're like, well, isn't a loose goal kind of a bad idea? There's still going to be, even if you don't recognize it right away, there's going to be people around you that actually recognize it, and that might lead to other end results. So for instance, have you ever talked to somebody who's fit and another person that's unfit? Not saying fat or anything, just fit and unfit.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, how are you gonna, how, where's this going? Because that's like every day. Like every,
yeah, exactly. Okay, let me ask you this.
In fact, I don't think. That's okay. Any part of what I notice in a human at first glance.
I do. Because
I don't.
I'm
don't. That's interesting.
I'm just gonna acknowledge. I'm a dick. I notice everything. I don't hold it against
you. No, it's
you,
it's
but...
obvious. It's obviously something that is in your subconscious.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
I don't, like, one of the things that, like, I'm short, but I've never in my life been insecure about being short, nor have I even thought about being short. But the fact that, like, so it's kind of probably the same thing. Like, I've never thought about nose shapes either. I've never looked at someone's nose and been like, that's huge. Like, because I just don't, I've never thought.
I mean, sometimes it is huge.
I mean, unless it's like cartoonish, right? But, I mean, it's the same sort of idea. So I want, that's interesting. It's very reflective of something.
The way I see it is this, and this is, whether it be toxic or not, I don't really care because it was my motivator.
Yeah, that's good.
Anytime I talk to somebody, if I see you not having any sense of self-respect, I don't trust you to handle a project. I don't trust you to handle something for someone else if you can't do it for yourself.
It's kind of like, there's like local politician right now that's like, oh, I saw somewhere where it's like, a local politician is living paycheck to paycheck and is in incredible amounts of debt. If he can't control his own finances, how can we expect him to control how we use our tax dollars?
Yeah.
That sort of idea, right?
It's the same concept as when you give a poor person, and I'm not trying to make any kind of statements or anything, but if you give somebody who doesn't know how to handle their money $1 million, they'll be broke in 6 months.
That's really interesting. So I want to be clear. Well, one, I want to bring up that that's pretty generalized and it's pretty harsh, but it's not necessarily wrong.
It's not necessarily wrong, mainly because if you just look at it as a black and white statement, then you could see all the negatives in it and how that's very generalized. But if you look at it for what I'm trying to say, which is if you don't have self-control, then it's really hard for you to hit your goals. If you wanted to get yourself out of debt, you need self-control and you need to have self-respect for that. So a lot of the goal setting that I did this past year, and the only reason I was able to hit them is because I started trying to take myself more seriously than I did before. Not because I didn't think I was doing good, not because I didn't hit goals. I hit a fuck ton of goals. I still have the mentality that there's not a single goal outside of buying a house before I was 30 that I didn't hit that I set for my 10-year plan for myself. And in fact, most of them I hit years in advance. And because of that, these metric goals never really appealed to me after that, because then it's like, what do you do after that? So you have to set a goal that actually is something where you're looking to become a person, not be somebody who has a thing. If you want a Ferrari, you have to become the type of person that owns a Ferrari, not somebody who owns a Ferrari. Anybody can own a Ferrari and still be in massive debt, and you can also own a Ferrari and not be in debt. But the difference is the type of person.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that a lot on this episode. It's not about owning the Ferrari. It's about being the type. First off, it's important to recognize if you want to own a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And to me, I think owning a Ferrari is silly. I think it's silly. That's just not a personal ideal of mine. But if it is, for some reason, an ideal of yours, we can argue of whether or not that's healthy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But if that is an ideal of yours, like, you have to be the type of person who wants a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And use that.
Not once.
So using that, and this is just on my mind again, listening to, learning a lot about Adler here, like using that feeling of inferiority, insecurity as a motivator
to grow.
So you said, you feel that way, because so you use that as a motivation
if I look at other people like that, why can't I hold myself accountable for the same reason? If I'm looking at somebody and saying, hey, intern, you want a new opportunity, but yet I still see you fucking around all day long.
Yeah.
if I'm fucking around all day long and wondering why I'm not getting opportunities, then I should be held accountable on the same level as the intern. Doesn't matter how much work's been behind me.
Yeah.
I've let something slip at some point, and that's evident in my workday. So if you set a goal to run a marathon, then you need to be the person that trains for a marathon and actually puts in the work, actually understands the mechanics of a marathon and what you need to be prepared to handle, and actually put it to practice. It's not enough to read about it and learn about it. Now you have to be about it and do it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So
there's only so much reading and learning that you can do for something as simple as running.
So you look at a mechanic, his hands are dirty, and he says, I can change your oil. And then you look at another mechanic, his hands are perfectly clean, but he doesn't actually have a shop of his own. He's pretty new. Who do you let change your oil?
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. But so if I were to see somebody who actually dresses themselves well, is clean, they're groomed, they dress themselves properly, and they seem to have their business in order. And then there's somebody who's kind of running around chaotic. They're always frantic because of all the work that they have. They have a lot of work, sure, but they seem frantic. It's like, I kind of trust the person that kind of is better composed right now.
Yeah. This is super interesting. I feel like this specifically is more of a reflection of something happening inside, Lou.
No, that totally is.
Yeah. So as long as we're opening about that, then I'm willing to continue this conversation, because what we're not doing is generalizing anybody that's out of shape or anything like that.
No.
This is saying
if you want to hit a goal, you have to work on yourself.
Yeah. And that generalization is true.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting where I'm all about personal responsibility. Yeah. Because here's two realities, two opposing realities that you have to decide between. It's not black and white. Mm-hmm. It's not a binary option. You don't have zero or one, right? You got two different things, but you have to choose between these two realities to a certain degree, right? Mm-hmm. You got one reality, which is your life is determined by your past. If you've been abused by your parents, if you've been hurt by someone, whatever. And that is the reason why you are this. And you are anxious, antisocial. You're just a dummy, right? Whatever. Or there's the other reality that you can choose to accept. And this one is much more hard. And this just even talking about this reality pisses people off. Is the other reality that you can choose is that your past does not at all determine what your current present, that your anger, your frustration, your anxiety is all just a decision that you're making to prove that the past is working.
Yeah.
And in order to let go. So again, this is a concept where power follows the blame finger. It could be your parents' fault, but as long as you keep pointing your finger to your parents,
you give them the power.
So this concept, there's two realities. Are you going to play the victim, which is awesome. It feels great. If you feel, and this is it from the words, this is from the studies of, I'm generalizing here from the psychological studies of Alfred Adler, who is colleagues of Freud and Carl Jung. If you are feeling inferior, it's really easy to victimize yourself and saying that I am worse off in these different ways, because that's one way of showing superiority is to by putting yourself in a protected class and to saying those excuses. And the thing is, the problem with that is that they're very valid. For example, if you were abused by your parents, that's super valid. Then nobody is ever going to argue with that on that. But that's where also the poison is that you will have less and less honest friends. And the problem is the thing is, this happens all the time. In Japan, there's always the common problem is people that are unable to leave the house. They're called hikikomori. They're unable to leave the house.
Like a shout out.
Yeah, like a shut-in. Yeah. So like this happens all the time where like this is a specific example from the book, the courage to be disliked. Mm-hmm. This is a real example of that often happening in Japan. The problem with this is that if you allow, like if I have a son that's a hikikomori, that is a shut-in, and because they're shut in, obviously the natural reaction is for me to care a lot and to give him special attention and care, mm-hmm. right? So my son, who has Down syndrome, I could take that as a negative way and give him special attention and care. Well, he can't change his situation, so it's a little bit different. But this hikikomori, right? Like if my other son was a hikikomori, then what that does is that it makes it more difficult for them to leave the house. Because if they start becoming normal and fixing their own issues, then they will no longer get the special attention that they've been wanting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's this cyclical, deep and dark thing that you cannot do to get over. So, yeah, with Kyo, it doesn't make sense because you can't just fix Down syndrome. Yeah. But that was a bad example. But I mean, let me finish the thought here. Like, so the reason why I bring this up is because if both realities, if you can choose, like if neither is necessarily 100% correct, if you had to choose one, which one is more optimistic? Which one gives you the power and you the choice? And although that is fucking terrifying to most people, the one that is more hopeful, the one that can help you and motivate you to become a better person to yourself, to your family, and to those around you, is the one where you take responsibility for your actions and you choose to point the blame finger within, and you allow yourself the room, the love, the compassion to turn those, to recognize those feelings, those inferior feelings, and use that to then slowly and surely build habits to power you forward. And anyway, that's just something that I really love. It's not about that choosing your sacrifice is right. This is the right way to do it. It's not about that. Both are correct. But this side is significantly more optimistic. So if you are hearing this and you're like really struggling, start small, even if that means waking up on time, even if you can't wake up on time, but you can start making your bed, mm-hmm. if you start taking off your shoes, whatever you feel like you need to do. Everybody's ideals are different, right? Mm-hmm. But to articulate your personal ideals and to slowly and surely kind of go through exposure therapy and just slowly and surely taking one bit, a little bit of medicine at a time, just a little bit, confronting yourself. And as you are, the longer you are brutally honest with yourself, and as David Goggins would say, like, check yourself in the honesty mirror, whatever he calls it, and use that as motivation to do better, not as a way to give yourself an excuse to feel worse. That can become the biggest power for your future. And then the reason why this is so important is because it will also impact directly your career, especially in this subjective world of art, where there's no projects that are objectively better. There's no objectivity here. It's all subjectivity. And
how many Grammys are given to things you've never heard of?
Boom. Boom. There you go. So it's like, If it's so subjective, then the one thing that is going to help you stand out in a world of subjectivity and a career of subjectivity is to be objectively more in self-control.
Yeah.
That is it. To take on responsibility. So kind of like what you were saying, I'm just building on that. I apologize. I just fucking ranted. I'm really passionate about it. Like, I think that this is a message that is really helpful to
It's the only way you're going to hit your goals, realistically speaking. Yeah. Like,
sorry, I got really passionate. I apologize.
No, you're
I apologize.
All good.
I started ranting. Yeah,
because like the other thing is, we talked about this on the last episode about like, hey, take time to be with your family and stuff. Part of my goals this year was to spend time more at home.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so much so because I don't want to be selfish.
Why? Oh, hold on. Let's break that down.
Sure. Easily. I've brought this up on the episodes before a couple times where I was given a choice between my career and my relationship a couple times, you know, and it wasn't like in a toxic sense. It wasn't like choose me or your career. It was just recognition of like, dude, I'm putting in all this work and people see it. And my wife, as giving as she is, you know, felt like she was one of the things holding me back. And I never intended for anybody to necessarily feel that way or to feel like they were necessarily burdening my progress. So I felt like the only way you could really do that is by showing that you're serious about, you know, being there and it not being something that's impeding your career. And so I'm not saying that being home was like, I need to take a step back from work. It was like, no, this actually helped my work.
Do you feel that pursuing your career is selfish in your personal life?
I think it's positively selfish. I think you should be selfish about it. Like, I don't think there's a reason not to be. I think you should be selfish for the sake of your family.
Would it be selfish for Anna to keep you from doing your work? To force you, to demand you to say, stop yes. doing my work?
Yes.
I don't think it's selfish.
I think so, and maybe in a different way.
Unless, why do we do what we do? Are we doing it just for personal gratification at the expense of others?
I think that... Okay, I'll say it this way, because I talked about this yesterday with one of my cousins that I just met for the first time. But my aunt had been wanting me to meet him for a long time. We just don't live near each other. But he's also an audio engineer. He's the only other audio engineer in the entire bloodline that I know of.
Are you doing better than him? Is he just starting off? How far along is his career?
He might be 10 years younger than me, for all I know.
Okay, you're much further progressed in your career.
Significantly from the sounds of our conversation.
Okay.
So but
I'm just trying to like place
gauge.
Yeah, yeah. Gauge that dynamic.
Bina, we were talking about because yesterday we met at a funeral. So one of our cousins died recently. Oof. Yeah. So he was young. No, it's all good. But that's kind of the point of this. Life and death is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. You don't choose if you live and you don't choose if you die. I mean, you can, but that's, you die nonetheless, whether you choose to or not. So when they say the only truths you have in life is or guaranteed things in life is death and taxes or taxes and death, whatever the fuck the saying is. The point is, if that's the case, then why wouldn't you want everybody in your life to live the best life they can ever choose to be here? They didn't choose to be here. So why not be given the opportunity to seek and excel at what you want? Why not push them to go that hard? If you were to tell somebody, I don't want you doing that anymore, no matter how passionate you are about it, it's got to be for a really fucking good reason. So if I were to ever tell somebody, you shouldn't do that because I don't want you to, and that's the only reason, then I'm being selfish as fuck and I should not be around you. But if you were to tell me, hey, I feel like I'm holding you back and I feel like I'm part of the issue of why you haven't been able to succeed as much, that's a very different approach. That's a selfless approach, because no matter how much it hurts you, you know that it's better for the other person. So,
well, I mean, in an ideal scenario, you wouldn't have to hurt yourself at all.
No, exactly. But sometimes you're blinded by how hard you're going to seeing how you affect those around you. And at that point, it's your decision what you want. And one of the things I've always believed in since I was a kid is having myself be married one day. And I want to be with somebody who can see past their own things. And I also want to be that person. So I can't ask somebody for something I'm not willing to do. So why would I want to be with somebody that's entirely selfish? And if I'm going to be entirely selfish, then that's what I'm going to end up attracting, right? So I would rather say, you know what? If you want to go hard at this, I'm going to support you. I may not have to fully agree with it, but I want to see you succeed. Because this is your life just as much as you're living as a part of mine, I'm living as a part of yours. And I would rather be a positive in your life than the one that holds you back.
So do you believe that the same action can be both selfish or selfless, depending on the person or the motivation?
Totally. I think that's possible. I don't see why it couldn't be possible.
So to feel selfish is very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Pulling water from the well to feed your family, pulling water in the well so nobody else can get it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I think it's a perception thing. First off, I think this is actually a really good topic that we could do a whole nother episode on. This is something that I felt as well, kind of combating the feeling of I feel selfish for being able to do what I want to do because I feel like I'm doing it at the expense of somebody else.
So let me ask you this, even with that notion in mind, would you feel the same if you were successful versus completely unsuccessful? Would it be selfish of you to excel and succeed at what you love to do, knowing that it puts food on the table with no regards of any kind of danger behind it?
I think that...
Because at that point, you would just be doing you. You would be, so to speak, man of the house and providing for your family. No matter whether it's something that you enjoy or not enjoy, you're still doing what you're supposed to do, but you get the luck of doing what you love.
Yeah, I don't think it would be either. I don't think it would be either way, selfish or selfless. Because whether or not I'm doing well or to do poorly, I think is unrelated. I think it's more tempting when you're doing poorly. I think it's more tempting to feel selfish because then you don't know why you're doing it anymore, right? Like nobody else. I'm
but
doing
if it,
it to
comes
affect
at the expense of others.
Yeah, I'm doing it. That's a form of psychopathy. If you can consistently take advantage of others and not feel remorse or guilt over that, that is by definition a form of psychopathy, which is psychopath.
Well,
to be a psychopath.
I hope I'm not in that category.
Yeah, so that means if you are feeling any form of guilt, congratulations, you're not a psychopath. But I want to say that I don't think it's healthy to feel guilty pursuing what you love as long as you continue to remember why you're doing it. For example, music is something that can change our lives. It changed yours. It changed mine. It saved mine. It's probably saved yours too and saved many people. We've recognized the good that's come from music. So we want to give that gift to other people.
Yeah.
That's a very long and endearing flame that burns a long time, right?
Yeah.
And versus I'm looking for clout. Because I want to be recognized and feel superior.
Yeah.
That is very short burning fire, right? So that is a little bit more selfish. And I don't think in the past I felt like selfish because I'm doing what I like to do. I'm lucky enough to do what I wanted to do and I'm doing it well. But it always felt like at the expense of somebody else.
Yeah.
But if you properly have an abundance mentality, believing that there are enough jobs out there, there are enough gear, because there are.
Yeah.
There's little, but there's enough money for all of us, whoever wants to make it.
Yeah.
Then that's one of the ways that you can continue to remind yourself, this is not a selfish thing. You can work hard and it could be a selfless thing, but there are balances on all of this. Like work is just one variable in a very complex, computation work, like compared to like family time. And you said with Anna, you know, it's time with Anna versus like working out versus reading. And there's so many things we want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just really interested because this is something that I feel like a lot of creatives that are doing decent have to go through. Mm-hmm. It's like the understanding that like sometimes we feel selfish and that's actually,
I think it's healthy. I mean,
it's healthy to come to that conclusion, but it's not healthy to stay in that conclusion. I think it's healthier to get past that, to acknowledge those feelings and to move past that.
I think that's why I had the goal of spending more time at home.
Yeah.
Because one, it actually helped more than just being home. One, I think my, aside from just my marriage, like I've been with Anna, we just celebrated 13 years last month. I feel like relationship wise.
Sorry, that was late.
No, you're all good. Like Patrick, hi. But you know what's funny? I one day want to just clip all of our laughs from all the episodes and just put them on a YouTube loop like, as like white noise for people. It's just us laughing. It's given me the opportunity to not only just spend much more time last year than I have, I would say a few of years of our relationship in combination, because I dedicated myself so much to my work that it became a topic of whether continuing was beneficial or not, you know, because of that, right? So I worked so hard, I didn't really spend that much time at home, and it became like a stress point. But in the last year, it's the polar opposite. It's actually become my strength. We go to the gym together 4 days a week. We now started adding cardio recently. Not only that, but we actually go to more family events, which was something that a lot of her family, not that they like never saw me, but they would bring up like, man, the last time I saw you was like 2 months ago, you know, and they have like gatherings every other weekend. So that's quite a few gatherings you just skip, you know? But because of that, I have a better relationship with not just her, but her family, my family. My nieces are growing up, and I've gotten time to actually see them grow up and, like, just hang out with them, play with them once in a while. I've gotten to actually dive into my hobbies more by just learning to take more time for myself, which is actually making it so that I don't burn out as bad in the work that I do, and I can actually work a bit more focused. So the whole idea of, like, wanting to go home started off as just wanting to be a better person to the people that are around me. And it's inevitably actually helped me build a better career.
Yeah. Your ideals changed.
Yeah.
It just changes. Ideals changing is actually very natural. I think a healthy thing.
Yeah. But the ideals before was work as much as you possibly can, because there shouldn't be any stone unturned. But at that point, I'm just running erratically around, turning every stone, even if it shouldn't have been a stone that ever needed to be turned.
I think you and I are very similar in that sense, where it's like, we both are the type of people to, like they say, aim before you shoot.
Yeah.
Where we shoot like 300 times before we aim once.
Yeah.
And then we figure out which shot was the best.
We just get better at those random shots over time.
Or we eventually, after shooting 100 shots, we figure out, oh, this technique was the one that worked the best for us. And we go back to it.
Yeah.
I think that's very similar. I think that that's very natural. I think it's a very healthy thing. I think the big thing that's been on my mind recently is just the idea of coping. We all have things that we need to cope with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether or not, like, to cope with it from a healthy perspective is always good. You know, to find motivation is always good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's strange, nor is it important or desirable to be happy 100% of the time with no feelings of insecurity.
Yeah.
I think that that is not natural. That's not normal. That's not how we were made from even a genetic level.
I would say insecurities is what motivates.
Yeah. I mean, if you, natural selection, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, this book, Indistractable, I mean, because you read this book.
Yeah.
It talks about how our genetic code is not made to be happy, because happiness does not make us have more children.
We do not evolve from happiness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because if we were to pass, like, the things that made us have more children was worry, and things that advanced our population was worry and anxiety. These things that are very natural to us. So, again, the purpose of, from a very animalistic point of view, is like, our purpose is to generate more DNA, clones of our DNA, right? So it's like, I think that people forget, like, we're not meant to be happy. That doesn't mean you can't be happy. And that means you do have to work on it. Maybe that'll change. Who knows? Like, in the past couple centuries, we've focused on, few centuries, maybe even the last millennia, we focused on trying to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe happier people are having more children now. So eventually happiness does become something in our genetic code in thousands
of
years.
Didn't we talk about this like a couple episodes ago about like how even the people at the highest position, the people that seemingly are succeeding the most, are also some of the most stressed out people, because they're taking on more and in the hopes of succeeding more.
Yeah, there's the concept that people that are hyper successful have three things. Insane amounts of impulse control. This is from Alex Freak. I forgot his name. Alex something. Anyway.
Toomey.
No, yeah, not Alex Toomey. Yeah, we'll just say Alex Toomey. Falsely quote him. But the idea that every hyper successful person has three things in common is extreme impulse control, being able to hold off on what they want now in order to get what they want later. Delayed gratification to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme amounts of insecurity, like just totally, they don't think that they're doing enough. They don't think that they're doing enough at all. And then extreme amount of feeling superior. So a superiority complex to a certain degree. They feel like they are inferior, but they deserve to be superior, and that they can change. They are the ones that can change the world, that they deserve through hard work and through attaching yourself with other people, they can continue to rise in power and to dominate and show superiority over. Anyway, that's the three things that most people have in common. It's not, and then there's other, I don't know where that test came from. I actually don't think it's like a tested thing. I think that's just Alex talking from just instinct, from his personal experience. There's also studies that show having to-do lists, making your bed, waking up 3 hours before you wake up, exercising minimum of 30 minutes a day. Those four things can actually determine a millionaire, statistically speaking, to determine determine whether or not you'll be a millionaire more than anything else.
Yeah.
So there's like a bunch of different studies, but the point is taking on personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. The two realities that we talked about earlier, like you chose the reality that I am sacrificing my family, and you chose to grab personal responsibility by the balls and do what you know you needed to do. And yeah. what you know you needed to do is very different from person to person. You yeah. may feel like you needed to spend more time with family, but somebody else who's built differently, literally, yeah. is with different genetic code, may feel like they need to work harder
yeah.
or whatever. And there's no
which
right.
Which you still can do just within the time that you allotted.
Yeah. So yeah. it's this fine balance between right and wrong based on your own core value sets that you yeah. determine. Number one, you have to figure out what your core value system is, what your ideals are, realign them to articulate them, figure out what's important. Some people want kids, some people yeah. don't. That's not important. The point is that the important part is that you decide that you are able to articulate why yeah. for yourself, that you're not lying to yourself when you create that list, and then slowly, bit at a time, working your way through that list and finding little bits of improvement towards that. This crazy thing is nobody is right. There's no right way of living. There's mm-hmm. no right way. And this is a concept, level six of conscious thinking that people understand. Like there's no right way of living, or there's no culture that is dominant. There's yeah. no religion that is going to work for everybody 100% of the time. It's everything works differently for everyone. We understand that concept, but there's a step after that. Mm-hmm. And that is to articulate, take personal responsibility, and doing the right thing over the course of time will bring objectively positive results.
Yeah.
So even the concept of there's even religions out there that smoking weed is like a major part of that religion. And that may be good, but not for everybody.
I'm so curious.
Rastafarianism. I'm just saying, in general. There's cultures yeah. where smoking weed is very normal, very good, LA included in that one, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, over the course of time, depending on who you are and your genetic code, we don't know if it's not objectively wrong or objectively good, mm-hmm. right, to have THC in your system. But if you know yourself well enough to know that this is not helping me achieve my goals, you need to stop, right?
Yeah, you're aware of what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's more of the concept. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here, so let me try to finish this up.
Self-control.
The seventh layer of consciousness is more of understanding that nothing is objectively true, but it can be over the course of time. For example, if you smoke weed every single day for 30 years, ever since you're 15 years old, over the course of time, you'll recognize that that was a bad decision. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell that it was objectively bad until time takes place.
Yeah.
So you have to understand... You have to understand that there are things that are objectively right, but you have to first figure out what your ideals are. Mm-hmm. So maybe the ideal was, I want to be more calm and peaceful, and I want to not care. And maybe some people, rare, I don't know how rare it is. I mean, it's not my thing, so I have a hard time understanding, but some people, weed is the right way to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's only, you can only determine it through the course of time.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, even then, no. Oh man, I think my logic was really flawed on that last little bit. I have to think about and reconsider what I just said. I'm going to think about it and come back to you on that one. But on that note, anyway. Sorry, I'm like I keep doing this. I keep ranting recently. The point is, with goals, with New Year's, what do you want to do? We talked about this with the episode on desire. Yeah. What is it that you want to do? Do you want a career in audio? Do you want a happy family? What is it that you want to do? Articulate that, write it down, right? I think that's the most important part of writing goals, is to write it down and to properly articulate your core values. Number two, on top of that, yeah, is as you do that, you will naturally create goals, which are more guidelines. Mm-hmm. This is determining what I want, but goals are not what winners and losers have the same goals. Goals are not what help you become better. It is your day-to-day actions, the changes in your behavior, the sacrifice that it takes to go through the mist of discomfort for self-improvement, and to have the courage to step away from, I keep saying this, because it's so profound to me, having the courage to step away from the misery of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
So that is just something that we continue to push. We will continue to teach. We're all wrong, but this is the way that I choose to be wrong. And I think that that's important. And you need to, the important part is, we're all wrong. So you need to you as the listener, whoever this is, you need to choose the way that you want to be wrong.
I know that's going to fly over some people, but I promise you, just take a moment to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no right way to raise a child. Every
there's
child
no
is
right
different.
There's no right way to live. There's no right way of anything. I mean, there's a right way to consume water.
Yeah. But it is also not right to forever believe that you have to decide for yourself what is right. That's the next level. In a world where nothing is objectively right, you yourself have to choose what is right.
Yeah. A lot of people fall into the notion of like, well, I was raised this way, so this is kind of culture for us. It's like, cool, but you could choose your culture the same way you could choose your family.
It's all right. And that takes time, and that takes coping and dealing with yourself and potentially years of therapy, which I always highly recommend for whoever. And on that, this has ended up being, I don't know. I feel like this was.
It's more of an episode talking about the importance of focusing on yourself when it comes to goals. It's not about the end number. It's not about the material. It's not about anything that you have to wear during. It's literally about self. If you want to hit your goals this year, one of the things I can suggest, which kind of helped me out, was create an avatar. An avatar that you actually see of yourself, and then an avatar of the one that you actually want to be. And it explained what it is that the other avatar is. You can put a Ferrari if you'd like, but you have to explain what it is that's going to get you there. And you have to be more focused, not on the end result, but more on what the progression is. If the avatar you created is somebody who's fit, and somebody who's fit goes to the gym 4 days a week, your goal is not to be fit. Your goal is to go to the gym 4 days a week. Even if it's for 30 minutes the first day, and the second day, and the third day, just the consistency of showing up. You can expand over time, but you have to break down who it is you're trying to be and what that person does on a day-to-day basis and match that.
Yeah. Lou, is there anything else that you want to say before the end of this? I think
I can't wait for the end of this year.
Yeah.
At the end of 2024 specifically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How come?
Because I look forward to whoever I become.
Ooh, that was sweet. That was very sweet.
Fuck you. That's one part that's not going to change. Always breaking the modes.
I do hope that we're all wrong. We're all stupid. I'm very stupid as well. We're all kind of... Sorry. Sometimes I feel stupid. I am not stupid. Sometimes I feel stupid. And the thing is, the point of this, all of this, is not to assert dominance, to assert any sort of power.
To prove yourself as cool.
Yeah. Literally what we want for this is for y'all to leave this episode feeling very empowered to continue to pursue what you originally thought was right.
Yeah.
We hope you find the courage to continue to do that. And we hope that we are able to empower you to work hard, to do what is right, and metaphorically to make your bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Whatever that means to you, right? And I know that you can do it. I'm in a mood recently where like I have this weird amount of I'm very optimistic again recently.
That's good.
And I think that recognize that the power has always been within you is so strong. Yeah. And I hope that everybody that's listening can feel that, at least feel my sincere passion around it. This is a quote I love. The transference of passion, being around passionate people, is enlightenment. I hope that you are feeling very enlightened.
Oh yeah.
I hope that, we've been able to help you in some way, and we are excited to spend another year, another 52 episodes minimum of this weekly free stuff, plus the two other episodes that we release every single week through mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive with the exclusive episodes. We hope that we will thank you for another beautiful 2023, and we hope to spend another beautiful year with you from your lovely hosts, DK and Lou. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Happy New Year's.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.